Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? That's right. Driving high can get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell when you're driving high, well, everyone else in your life can. Your friends can tell, your coworkers can tell, even your parents can tell. So what makes you think law enforcement can't tell? Well, they can. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale, up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on this terrestrial radio network, Sirius XM Odyssey, and of course the Roku Sports Channel. We're pleased to be here in Los Angeles, California. Hour number two of the program includes an in-studio visit from Trevor Baptiste, the New York Atlas face-off specialist who's in our green room, going to come out. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on this program. I've got to be honest with you, and I'm always attempting to do so. Mm-hmm. I am buzzing this morning. I am overwhelmed with emotion and appreciative of the reaction to my appearance on SportsCenter last night on ESPN after the Monday Night Football game. First time in 22 years that I've hosted the program. This opportunity afforded to me courtesy of the executives at ESPN and Disney. Dave Roberts is an executive there who has been all over this show and me for the last couple of years, for a few years, trying to get us. And he was the one who suggested to me, in support of this show's move to Disney Plus on September 2nd, and the ESPN app and ESPN Radio as well. And by the way, a lot of you who are listening to us right now will be able to hear us on the station you're listening to us right now in the fall. And our Sirius XM station is going to switch to the ESPN station starting September 2nd. And those of you who have been kind enough to watch us on the Roku channel over the last 3 years, guess what? Disney Plus is available on the Roku platform. So we'll still be available to you to watch. But to promote our move, Dave Roberts said to me a few weeks ago, do you want to do a SportsCenter? And that's like asking, to use the Disney Plus parlance, a princess if she wants to build a snowman.
Do you want to build a snowman?
I mean, it's a rhetorical question. You know what I mean? The answer is yes. I've only been thinking about it for 22 years, thinking it would never happen. I mean, it's that simple. I have dreams. I've had dreams about it. Sort of like you always dream about being in an old job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my old job happens to just be SportsCenter. And yesterday was like being in a dream. An absolute dream. And I'm looking at this photograph of me sitting on a SportsCenter set, and I'm just getting choked up looking at it. I can't believe it.
It's wild.
It is nuts.
And the idea, you know, it's not like I'm reinventing a wheel, but the idea that I had for this program was to lean deeply into the nostalgia. And while I was away last week, I Zoomed with the producing team that ESPN fixed me up with. Tom Delacorte is somebody who was part of the producing team last night. And he said to me, I handed you shot sheets years ago. I want to get some other names out here. Evan Anderholm, Andrea Pelkey, Brian Kimberly, the director last night. The four of them were Zooming, and I said to them, would you mind if we use the old SportsCenter music and graphics, and I write an old school open to the program? And that's me writing it right there. Wow, look at me at a computer. By the way, I don't mind the posture right there. I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about it. Yeah. I mean, what was in the bowl there wasn't very healthy, but. Listen, and the answer that I got back was, it's funny. Tom says, it's funny you mention the old school music and the graphics, because we thought, we were just talking about when you're saying hello at the top, that we have the lights down like the old school sports center where you bring it up and you say hello. So it kind of plays into it. Let me see. And I'll be straight up with you, because I'm still working through the past. And I thought to myself, is it possible that some of the old ways of doing things wasn't like, you know, yeah, let's do the old way of doing things. But the old way of doing things, it would be like, that's not what we do around here anymore. So we're not doing the old graphics anymore. Mm. That's gone. That's in mothballs. You're just coming out of them, not the graphics, Rich, not the music, Rich, not any of that.
It's in that vault in Indiana Jones.
Right?
In the back.
Yep, yeah, it's been put away.
At the end, it's been put away with the Ark.
You know, and I got part of me was like, oh, please don't say no to this. Please don't kick it up and it comes back. No. The answer came back with Tom Delacorte. He texted me a video of his computer screen. He's like, got the music. And I hit play, and in the animation, I'm getting choked up. I saw it, and I'm like, wow, this is going to happen. And I am going to freaking dive in, cannonball in this old school hot tub time machine. And I'm gonna do it like the old way. And the producing team was so all in on it. I did not know that when we were going to do the highlight of the Monday night game that we followed, that they were going to play the Chris Berman NFL primetime music. Didn't know that. They surprised me with that. Didn't know that they were going to, well, I knew going into the show Monday night, but I didn't know at the time throughout the weekend they were going to start digging into some old SportsCenter music. I mean, and SportsCenter commercials.
Yeah.
Didn't know that they were diving into my old shows to find an old moment that might stick out. Had no idea that I did the highlight of Mo Lewis blowing up the innards of Drew Bledsoe out trots Tom Brady.
And you're just like, and here comes Tom Brady.
Yeah, the University of Michigan.
Like, no one's ever heard of this guy.
I did that highlight on the Sunday night Sports Center of week two in September of 2001 after the NFL came back from, we all know what happened in September of 2001. It was awesome. It was a dream. I can't believe it happened. Susie was at home with the kids.
Oh, I was texting her.
She videoed the show open, and she showed me today, hey, this is what it was. And I hadn't seen it back yet. And her commentary with the show open on the TV screen at home, she was just like, I can't believe this. This is surreal. I mean, because that's why I met her in the newsroom. Our children are ESPN children, but they'd never seen Dad in his natural habitat.
Yeah.
And I never thought it would be possible again. I'm choked up. I'm getting emotional about it.
You should. And,
yeah, man.
Don't hold
definitely
back.
Should,
and
Rich.
Then, you know, and obviously me, I said, we got to take a moment and talk about Stu.
Oh, man. I don't know how you got through that.
Well,
part,
because, I'm just going to be so honest with you. Throughout the 22 years of me watching from out here at NFL Network, where, by the way, let's not take anything that I'm saying that I lament any of the last 22 years. Please understand. I hope it's not coming across like that.
No,
at
not
all.
At all. No, not
okay.
At all.
It's just, you know, the way I was born into this business, ripped away.
Unceremoniously let go.
Very much so. And for 22 years, I'm out here loving life on NFL Network, loving life with Susie out here in Southern California, loving life with you guys doing this show. But I'm looking and I'm like, oh, there's Dan and Keith doing SportsCenter. Oh, that's good. I mean, I would like to do that. Mm. Didn't get an invite, didn't get a call, didn't get anything. And now that I get a chance, Stuart's gone. You know, cancer robbed all of us of Stuart, and me in particular, of an opportunity to do a show with him one more time. So we set up a chair. This was all conscious decision. Let's put the chair. And again, beautifully shot and directed, just pulling out, showing the chair, showing Stuart, literally looking over my shoulder. I mean, come on. I mean, this is in the commercial break beforehand, I guess. And I was trying to pull myself together. And then just the reaction.
It was amazing.
From people feeling just as emotional about seeing all of this stuff. This hit a chord. I mean, you're telling me, because you know I'm not on X anymore.
Yeah, I was following along.
Because I just can't handle the toxicity there.
I was reading comments last night, and it was universal how everyone was feeling. They were feeling just like us.
Yep.
They were proud and happy and excited, and it was like a jolt of feel-good energy that we kind of all needed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I heard from so many of my old friends and colleagues. Berman sent a text beforehand.
Oh, nice.
Greenberg sent a text beforehand, resent a text beforehand during the show, during a commercial break. Look down, he goes, $100 if you make a hello, an aloha means goodbye. And you give Larry Beal credit.
And you did.
And I did at the end.
Yeah.
And I said on the air, $100.
He
texted me after the show, money well spent. Shap Fowler, Bob Lee sent me a text saying catering on Kizzle's, K-I-Z-L apostrophe S, which is a local establishment in Bristol. Who else? Shap. And Dan Patrick chimed in an hour before the broadcast with one word. Nervous. Question mark. And I told him, I said, guess what? I'm like, nothing, you know, time doesn't change. And he responded with like a smile or whatever. And I'm like, guess, and part of this process is, you know, I want to find out the exact date of my last SportsCenter and with whom. And they told me it was May 28th, 2003, and it was with Dan. And so that was part of the top 10 list, the top 10 moments.
Yeah. Which were
NFL moments, you know, since I left ESPN and since I was with NFL Network. And they put a shot of Dan behind me and Dan from that set behind me. Steve Levy reached out. How did it feel to be back in the chair? I'm like, it felt great. I texted him. I'm just glad I didn't have to talk about Matthew Stafford's disc. And he texted back. He texted back the gift that keeps on giving. So it brought like all of us back together, because we feel a certain kinship from back in the day. And last night was a a nice dose of nostalgia that clearly fans appreciated.
Rich, they played the clip. I've heard you. You've told this story to us many times about how Dan had to talk you into doing the commercial where you get demoted.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, they played it first.
Yeah, that was the first one.
It was the first thing they saw.
But me being sent down to the minors. And I used that to lead into Paul Skeens saying, clearly he's never going to be sent down to the minors.
Yes.
Dan, because I was very upset. Why choose me to be the one sent down to the minors? And Dan's just like, it's the comedy. Just go with it. Gus is on the line?
Yes.
All right. One of the best Sports Center producers in the history of the great show, Gus Ramsey, is on the line. You there, Gussie? You there, buddy?
Rich, I am here, sir. How are you today?
This is great. How fun was that, right? I mean, it was fun. It was fun.
Let me tell your audience something that they don't know, and then let me tell something that you don't know.
Okay. Did you know? We understand.
Did you know?
Okay. Sorry, Gus. Go for it.
What you did last night was not easy. Just because you've been on television for the last 22 years, it is not the same job, what you did last night compared to what you do every day with your great show, with your guys, and what you do every Sunday during the NFL season. It's a different animal. And for you to slide right in there after 22 years and make it look like you have been doing the show every day for the last 22 years, as a guy who runs a sports broadcasting school and tries to teach people how to do this, it was remarkable how seamless all of that was.
Second point,
your guys there told you how Twitter reacted. You got a bunch of texts from fellow on-air people.
Yeah.
There's an ESPN Old-Timers Facebook group page. And the other group of people who were moved by last night were the former employees and people who were there in the late 90s, which, you know, for a lot of us was the heyday of SportsCenter. And the number of people who were emotional just from the old tees rolling and you tracking it, that was emotional for people on top of the Stu stuff and all the other stuff. But there's so much appreciation for the people who were in the trenches with you back in the day. That just the fact that you could do an old school tease and make people cry is pretty remarkable. And I never stay up past midnight anymore, but I did. And my wife is usually asleep by 9 o'clock, and she did. And when you did the tribute to Stu, we're both sitting in bed crying, and she goes, "That wasn't fair." And I said, "Yeah, but it was damn beautiful." So congratulations on an incredible evening, sir.
Thank you, Gus.
And you just, it was awesome for everybody.
Wow. Yeah. This is making my day, Gus, that from you, it's the highest praise possible. And of course, you know, I called Gus beforehand to tell him I was going to do a Stu tribute. And we went over, I just want to make sure that I got the catchphrases. I wasn't missing anything. Because Gus, you work with Stu back in Orlando. In his local TV days. So this means the world.
I texted the daughters and his ex-wife, Kim, and let them all know that you were going to be doing that and made sure that they all got to see the clip, whether it was they stayed up last night or got to see it today. And they were certainly very appreciative of you doing that as well.
So, yeah, I heard from Susan.
Done, sir.
Thank you. I heard from Susan Scott as well in the commercial break, I might add.
Dropping a Pookie and Ray Ray, that was excellent, man.
Don't forget the NM.
Yeah. Pookie, Ray Ray, and them.
And them. Love you, Gus. Thanks for sharing that.
Sir.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, Gus.
Gus Ramsey.
Bye, Gus.
Put up the tweet. This is Susie found this one. From J.O. tweets, "I've got a fever, and the only prescription is more saxophone," was the response to one of the many tweets about the show.
Yeah, there's just thousands yesterday. I was having a good old time afterward. We were watching some show, and I'm just like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm reading all the Twitter about Rich." Everybody was just loving it.
Listen, you accuse me of caping. I don't care. But I just want this to be pointed out that the number of people that think that ESPN, when they take something in, is going to ruin it.
I saw a bunch of that, too.
Hey, they're just going to ESPN it or whatever. I asked for the old music, the old graphics, the old everything, and the answer was, what else do you want to do? What else do you want to do? They leaned into it as much as I did with a team of lead pipe wielding professionals. who wanted to do it just as badly and just as well.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, inside the NBA is going to be the same thing. I feel it in my bones, which is why I mentioned it. Like, could you imagine if Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was there with those guys?
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Stewart with those guys?
Oh.
Screw it. I'll say it too. I heard from Ernie Johnson as well. You know what I mean? Like, Breen, it's just all a broadcasting family that's been around a while. And the most important part, too, again, on top of forget my personal stuff, which I shared, and with Susie. It means a lot to us that we, us, Susie, yours truly. It means a lot to us that I could share this with our children. We could share it with them. My nephew, Jack Schuster, who is a little baby walking down the aisle, he saw his uncle do this stuff in his natural habitat for the first time. But above all, the fans, your guys' reaction as fans, the people that I've heard from who are like, it made me feel great. And to share that, that's what broadcasting is, to do something that connects with the viewer and the listener in a visceral way that is similar to you and also collectively to a group of people. Like, what a blessing to do that. Blessing. Yeah. And the neat thing is I'm not going anywhere. They know where I live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where we're going to live is with them.
I got the feeling Rich ain't going to be the last.
Yeah.
You know what?
Here's to the next time.
But if that is the case, and I don't presume anything, but for the first time in 22 years, it's exactly what I dreamed of.
Yeah.
I dreamt of a moment that a collective group of production staff can do together for you, the fan. And the fact that it's as big of a conversation as it appears to be is just the cherry on top.
You know, the other day when we were talking about my car, Brockman said to me one time, he goes, nostalgia is the most powerful drug in the world. Mm-hmm. And it can be a negative thing, but it can also be a very positive thing. And last night was positive, powerful nostalgia.
Through the roof.
Well, you know, whenever I get emotional about sports as well, it's about the marking of time.
Yeah.
And of all the people over the last 22 years who come up to me with their kids and say, you know, I've told my kids, you know, you used to put me to sleep. You and Stewart, mm-hmm. 2 a.m. Or, you know, when I take my kid to school, I tell my kid, you know, this guy is Stewart. Used to put me on the school bus.
That's true.
And the fact that we all collectively in that boat last night got to hear the saxophone and the open and all that sort of stuff. All right. I've said my piece. 844-204-RICH.
We can't talk about this enough. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
No, me neither.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm happy. Keep talking about it.
Loved it.
Very good.
Loved it.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, let's talk with Trevor Baptiste, New York Atlas face-off specialist, and PLL is part of the ESPN world as well. Don't go anywhere. Hey, folks, let me ask you a serious question. Did you know that driving high is considered driving under the influence? That's right. Driving under the influence of marijuana is against the law in every state. That means even in states where marijuana is legal. That means driving high could get you a DUI. And if you think law enforcement officers can't tell when you're driving high, well, my friend, you're wrong. If you're high, they can tell. Your friends can tell. Your coworkers can tell. Even your parents can tell. Everyone can tell. So what makes you think that law enforcement officers don't know when you're driving high? You'd be wrong. They can tell, too. Driving under the influence of marijuana can slow your response time and change how you perceive time and speed. So even if you think you're fine to drive when you're high, you're not. Because the bottom line is, if you feel different, you drive different. And driving high is driving under the influence. So remember, drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
The official HBO Hard Knocks podcast is back. I'm your host, Andrew Siciliano. We're joined by NFL and Hard Knocks insiders as the Buffalo Bills prepare to make history.
We're going to do whatever we can to bring a Lombardi back here to Western New York.
Catch Hard Knocks, training camp with the Buffalo Bills on HBO Max. Then watch or listen to the Hard Knocks podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're an IT or security pro, managing devices, identities, and applications can feel overwhelming and risky. Trelica by 1Password helps conquer SaaS sprawl and shadow IT by discovering every app your team uses, managed or not. Their pre-built app profiles assess risk, manage access, and optimum speed. And with 1Password, you can simplify onboarding, offboarding, and compliance with a centralized system of record and reduce costs by eliminating unused licenses. Take the first step in better security for your team. Learn more at 1Password.com/special offer. That's 1Password.com/special offer, all lowercase.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're sitting here on the Roku Sports Channel. The radio audience will rejoin in just a split moment, but for the first of two times, let's welcome in from the New York Atlas face-off specialist himself, Trevor Baptiste of PLL Lacrosse. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Good to see
Honored
you.
To be here.
What do you have
stick
there?
For you?
You're bringing me a stick.
Hey, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Hey.
You got something to fight TJ with now.
That's right.
Yeah, you've got your kendo got stick.
My kendo stick.
Yes. I've got my warrior. What, fat boy?
Yeah.
So I got my warrior fat it. Boy.
Yeah.
But that sounds, not mutually exclusive, right? Warrior fat boy.
Yeah.
Doesn't usually, the two words don't go together.
Yeah. Yeah. So the shaft is kind of made for people who throw a lot of heavy cross checks. So okay. It's actually reinforced. Oh. So that's like the reinforced shaft line. So. You know, I don't know.
Now we're talking.
So this leaves a mark, is
what
you're saying.
Yeah, it leaves a mark. Yeah, so.
Fantastic.
It's for the strong guys.
All right. By the way, the New York Atlas is going to face off against the winner of the Maryland Whipsnakes and Philadelphia Water Dogs in the semifinals on September 1st. And a win in the semifinals sends Atlas to the championship for the first time in club history.
Yeah.
So yes. Congratulations on the opportunity that you have in front of you here.
Thank you.
How do we make this cash, Trevor? Let's be honest.
Yeah, we're excited. You know, I think that for our team, I think we've been really talented over the years. Mm-hmm. And I think especially last year, we had a heartbreaker in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. So I think we're posed really well to take care of business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so do you just sit back and watch the Maryland-Philadelphia game and figure out how that works?
Exactly, yeah. So because we were first in the Eastern Conference, we get a...
Top seed.
Yeah, we get a bye into the semifinal. So we get to watch them this weekend. They play in Minnesota. And, you know, hopefully they really get after each other.
Well, you know, that I'm required to ask you who you want.
I don't think I think we're excited to play anybody.
Okay, very good.
We're excited for the opportunity.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Baptiste is here on the Rich Eisen Show, the New York Atlas face-off specialist. Again, the Atlas, top seed in the Eastern Conference of the PLL, and they're waiting to see who wins between Maryland and Philadelphia to try and get to the PLL championship for the first time in club history. How does one become a face-off specialist of the year, like you've been five times?
Yeah, I think the face-off position is it's tough. You know, it's a part of the field that two guys are doing the same thing against each other.
Yes.
So it turned into like an individual aspect of the game. And, you know, you do a face-off every time you score and at the start of the game, at the start of each quarter. So
right. It's
a possession-centric game. If you can win a lot of face-offs, you can control the ball and put your team in a great position to win the game.
So when did you – how do you know that you have this sort of – ability, like how do you get into it is what I'm saying.
I think it's different for everybody. For me, like I started playing attack, then I got switched to midfield, and then in high school we needed somebody to take the face off. And back then, you know, it was really just anybody who was athletic, who was tough, could pick up the ball, you know, hop out there and play. And then now the game has become a lot more specialized. So you're seeing guys really take the initiative to make that their position at a younger age.
Right.
But for me, I just kind of got thrown into it, you know, and I had a knack for it. You know, I had a knack for
now,
it.
How did you get into lacrosse, period?
So I grew up in North Jersey, so lacrosse was pretty popular.
We're in North Jersey.
Denville, New Jersey.
Mike Del Tufo.
West of Livingston.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Exactly. Okay,
Mikey. Yeah.
My father taught in Denville.
Oh, is that right? Oh. There, yeah. What'd your dad teach in Denville?
school
for... Oh, that was your opportunity to say lacrosse.
Oh, my brother played lacrosse and was all state.
Frank?
Back, no, Anthony.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
All right.
That's awesome.
Back in the 70s.
That's awesome.
So,
a goalie.
So, pardon me. I didn't mean to turn MDT into the GPS. But,
we're New Jersey. Okay. Come on, we get it.
That's right. I get it.
Okay. So you're growing up in North Jersey.
Yeah. Growing up in North Jersey, played football growing up. And a lot of my friends that I played with, they played lacrosse in the spring.
Yes.
Didn't know much about it, but they're like, Trevor, you got to come out. You got to come out and
play. What'd you play in football?
I played running back. So,
okay.
So that was, you know, I love the game and, football talking about
sure.
And lacrosse was something that I did in the spring that was fun, you know, and I was just hanging out with my friends.
Sure.
Wasn't very good to start out, and I'm sure as you'll see as you use that stick, it's tough to get going, you know, to learn how to catch and pass, but you know, I stuck with it, and I fell in love with the creativity of the game. You know, it's a game that, you know, you could tailor your game based on your skill set. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really appreciate about
okay.
it.
Okay, so you've been hit more in which sport?
I would say lacrosse, because
really?
I've been playing it for longer.
Okay. But I understand. Listen, Jersey, I mean, is a football hotbed.
Yeah.
Lacrosse has been your path to professional sports, which
right.
is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
In that regard, for yeah. sure. And you were drafted number one overall in yeah. 2018. Mm-hmm. So what was your draft day like for you?
Is it
similar to something a football player goes through or something like that?
No, I wouldn't say it was similar at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was actually still in college. So the draft happens in the spring. Mm-hmm. So I was a senior in college finishing up at the University of Denver. So I wasn't able to go to the draft because we were getting ready for playoffs. I was on campus. And We streamed it at the time.
You streamed it?
Yeah,
we streamed
it. So this was before the PLL. There was no ESPN media rights deal.
No.
So me and my teammates at Denver, we had it up in the locker room. And the commissioner of the MLL back then,
yes.
you know, said number one. And it was pretty cool to have that moment with my college teammates. But it definitely wasn't the experience that you see in the NFL or NBA or anything
like
that.
Well, I mean, now, but you've nailed it. Denver, University of Denver also is a big hockey school, right?
Huge. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Okay. For sure. I'm trying to think, dude, University of Denver, I think, is that where Steve Sable went to school too?
Ooh.
Just trying to remember. Like, I think Steve Sable and Parcells went to a school out there. Both of them.
Colorado did. College.
Colorado yeah. College, which is yeah. different than yours.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
bad. Okay, very good. I'm just taking stabs here. Trevor Batiste of the New York Atlas face-off specialist here in advance of a pretty big opportunity to make the PLL championship for the Atlas for the first time in club history right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm told you are friends with Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
How yes. do you know Joe?
So we have the same agent, Peter okay. Schaefer. So yeah, yeah.
Now, I mean, is that why Peter's been texting me in the last 2 days? I know that you're coming on the program.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put two and two together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've gotten to know him and a lot of guys in the NFL through Peter, which has been really great because, you know, it's just great to build a community of pro yeah. athletes, you know, especially in a game of lacrosse that is continue to evolve and continue to grow.
Okay.
And see, you know, that they're excited about the game too, and they can come to our games and have respect for it and be like, wow, it's really cool what you guys do out there.
So 40-yard dash, you versus Joe Mixon.
Ooh,
Joe Mixon's cooking me for sure.
Oh, he's cooking you.
Yeah, he's cooking me. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well,
what's the fastest you ever ran a 40?
I haven't timed a 40 in a long time.
I bet.
But I would say, I think I ran like a 4.5.
Damn straight you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, 4.5, so. You know, I don't know if I still got that in me, but
well, again, that's not what's needed of you on the field,
right?
You know,
right.
like that's not what's needed of you is to get possession and start winning these faceoffs.
Exactly,
and do your thing.
Exactly,
and that's how you become a 5-time faceoff specialist of the year. Trevor Batiste here on the Rich Eisen Show. What toll does it take on your body to do this 25 times in a game, man?
Yeah, it's a lot, especially. Last regular season game, high scoring game in PLL history, mm-hmm. 20-19. So over 40 faceoffs in the heat. It's tough. It's tough. And I think that it's a position that maybe doesn't get looked at with that much credit because, you're coming on every time a team scores. You're coming on at the start of each quarter.
Right.
So you're going really hard for, you know, 20 to 30 seconds. And then, you know, you're usually subbing out after that. So I think a lot of people don't give it the recognition of how tough it is. You're wrestling somebody to battle for the ball, get up, run, go try to pick it up, make a play, either towards your offense or stop in transition, and then run off the field. So it's tiring. It's tiring, and it's physical.
I bet it is, for sure. How many times are you at the bottom of a pile?
I would say there's big pileups, but so I don't know, to kind of give you a demo.
Yeah.
You know, the ball's in between me and the person I'm going against.
Right.
Ref says down, set, whistle.
Right.
So our sticks start on the ground. On the whistle, we're attacking that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically just turns into a grudge match between you and that player.
Yes.
One person's going to try to direct the ball out to either a teammate or yourself.
But so you're not on the bottom of a pile very often, is what you're saying.
It's more of like a one-on-one.
Okay.
Understood match. Yeah.
I'm just trying to gather then, you would not know, or you would know what goes on at the bottom of a pile?
I stopped playing football at high school.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I got to get to know it a little bit. I got to get to know it.
Okay.
Bit. Yeah.
People getting a little handsy?
Yeah. People are getting a little handsy.
You got to get a little grabby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not in lacrosse?
No, okay. I wouldn't say that opportunity presents itself.
I just wanted to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
What would it mean for you to take the Atlas to a PLL championship for the first time?
It would mean the world to me. I think I'm in a unique position because I'm the only original Atlas member on the team.
That's
so
awesome.
The league started in 2019. It's been an incredible journey with this team, and you know, a lot of guys that. A lot of talented players have come through our team and have gone to other teams and retired. You know, Paul played on our team to start, Paul Rabel.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it's been a really, really awesome journey, and it would just mean the world to me to go there with this team.
Okay.
You know?
When is Paul going to do a face-off with Pedro Pascal? When's that going to happen?
I don't know. Maybe sometimes
I've got my pen for a date on it.
Maybe sometimes soon.
Okay, very good. Hey, sorry. I didn't mean to drag you down to my level. Trevor, good luck to you, sir. It's a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for my warrior fat boy, words I've never said before. This is great. I'm going to give this to Coop. Coop's going to love this. Yeah, my youngest son has been playing some lacrosse in camp. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. What position does he play?
That one, I'm not so sure. He's 6'2".
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Maybe defense?
Maybe so. I don't know. I haven't really spoken to him about it. He's just started.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Does he like it?
He does like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does like it. Whatever helps him get into college.
Yeah. That's great.
But he does seem to like it. So
yeah.
I will give him his this new one, and I'll tell him Trevor Baptiste is the only second face-off specialist to ever win MVP is the one who gave it to him. Thank you. Greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Yeah,
you
no
got
problem.
It. Trevor Baptiste of the... New York Atlas, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You can check out the PLL, obviously, through ESPN. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network in a moment. Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed. Luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like, and it gives you your best night's sleep, night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Sue's. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale, up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This is the story breaking right now.
Fox One is coming soon, which means soon you can be there live for all the biggest moments.
She is gone!
and witness history as it's made.
It's not about me. It's about what this human spaceflight program is about. It's our national goals.
Get all of your favorite news, sports, and entertainment with a side of...
I think I may have peed a little.
All in one app, streaming live on August the 21st. Fox One.
There's somebody on Twitter, and it could be Bob, @real_BobCostas. Then you read the Twitter bio, and you begin to think something could be up, because it says former NBC Sports broadcaster, 21-time Emmy Award winner, 11-time Olympic host, president and sole member of the BCFC Bob Costas fan club. Doesn't sound like Bob.
No.
So I wanted to make sure that we're all buttoned up. And inviting here on the Rich Eisen Show to discuss this very subject is none other than the real, actual, 100% authentic Bob Costas. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, Rich. Late last night, and then again this morning when I woke up, dozens of texts, some claiming it must be real, some saying this can't be true.
Yes.
And one said, this is the best indication that hell has frozen over since the 04 Red Sox or the 2016 Cubs. But I am here to assure you and everybody else,
yes,
that the fires of hell are still very much blazing, because I am absolutely not on Twitter. They have taken the bogus account down. And I began thinking, you know, what would I have to do before I ever deigned to be on Twitter? What, like binge watch The Real Housewives of Orange County? Make a return trip to Sochi just for the nostalgia of a pink eye episode? Star in a sequel to basketball? Or just for you, Rich.
Yes, Bob.
Make a special trip to the NFL Combine. All those things will happen before I'm ever on Twitter.
I mean, a prequel to basketball would be pretty epic.
Prequel. I like it.
Yeah. You know what? I have to admit that.
If
the Zucker brothers asked me to do a sequel, especially with Al Michaels at my side,
yes,
the basketball, it must be done. I owe it to the American public.
Okay, so this is the real Bob Costas. We can confirm that now.
Yeah.
Twitter needs that.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, of all the things in the world. Your son tweeted it out that this is not you.
When I saw the first screen grab that Keith sent to me.
Yes.
One tip off should be, look, I'm a reasonably humble and self-effacing guy.
Yes.
But would I knowingly shortchange myself 7 Emmys? Like, I couldn't even get the number of Emmys right.
Exactly.
I said that. I said 21 seems a little light.
Right? You got to pull a scam. Get your ducks in a row.
But love it. Bob Costas, many appearances in the history of this program are all sitting on our YouTube channel right now, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Excuse me. By the way, speaking of YouTube, that came out today too.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
What came out?
That I'm calling the game on YouTube.
Oh, congrats.
In Brazil.
Didn't know that.
San Paulo. Yeah. You see all the capers I'm cultivating right now, just pulling them all off.
I mean, that's going to be undoniably sick. So I'm super pumped for you.
I'm doing the show from Brazil.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Thursday and Friday of that week.
Yeah, that's going to be
Chargers,
really, really cool.
Chiefs.
You know, getting back to the whole pizza thing and your success being our success, does that mean like we are going to Brazil?
You are not. You guys will be here. You guys will be here, so you have to learn your Portuguese.
Me and Canta Brazil.
Terrific producer, Tom DeCourty, who I was giving his props to. Apparently, I called him Tom Delacourty. That's not his name. So I feel like an idiot. Hi, Tom. Great job last night. Awesome. Everybody from the Worldwide Leader in Sports Days. Listen, love Cam Ward's moxie, man.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I dig it. It's pretty cool. We've all said Jeffrey Simmons on this program. Do we say he's got moxie, or he's just got a mean streak in him?
Well, he's a BAMF, so I think there's I don't think that kind of overtakes Moxie.
Okay. That's what he's got.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's set the stage. Because apparently Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons were chatty with one another in a practice back in the spring. And Jeffrey Simmons had this to say about going back and forth with Cam Ward.
Past weekend, I was like, you know, I'm going to be talking smack to you too. So, you know, it's fun. You know, I think at the end of the day, as you guys saw it and I saw it myself, that, you know, when you can have a guy with that much confidence as a rookie, I mean, I haven't spent that much time around Cam. And you know, we talked going back and forth, talking smack with each other. And, you know, he was able to get back in the huddle and still throw the ball down the middle of the field. So I think that was the most impressive thing, not him talking smack to me, but I think being able to get back in the huddle, get to play to the guys and still operate the offense, I think that was the most impressive thing.
All right, that was June 10th, and then a couple days later, Cam Ward was available to the media and gave his side of things about being chatty with some, what, BAMF?
BAMF, yeah.
Bruce Arians, Marshall Faulk?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He had this to say about the get-together.
I'm always locked in. The trash talk, it'll never mean nothing to me. It won't get to me in some type of way. I'm just somebody who likes doing it. And so what's the point of playing something that you love, you can't have fun with it. So, you know, that's where it comes from. But, I mean, I love the game. And so any chance I get, you know, to let somebody know that they can't f*** with me, it really doesn't matter.
That's the moxie. That's what the F in BAMF is.
ERA.
I got it. Okay. Well, Monday, 96 degrees. Hear me out. It's hot in Nashville. Cam Ward finds Calvin Ridley for a touchdown in practice. And he goes to celebrate. But before he goes to celebrate with his teammates, he stops and gives Simmons a shove. Before doing his trademark Zombie Land celebration in front of him. According to this article I'm reading from ESPN, Simmons didn't take kindly to that and two-hand shoved Ward to his face mask. And then the offensive line stepped in, and to quote left tackle Dan Moore when he was asked if anyone's allowed to touch the quarterback, quote, absolutely not, that goes without saying. A scuffle. Cam Ward is scuffling okay. with Jeffrey.
Okay.
BAMFN Simmons.
Okay.
Cue the coach. Hit it.
Yeah, I think it was a training camp push and shove and a little bit of loud barking, and that was pretty much it. For me, it's late August, and we're ready to go play some real football, I think. And I think that's pretty standard back and forth in this point of training camp. So I didn't think too much of it. Guys got a little hot. Tempers flared and we moved on. So I don't.
There's a red jersey on the quarterback, not to know that he's not to be touched, not just in a play, but in a situation like that.
Oh, of course, you don't want the quarterback being touched. The flip side of it is the quarterback enters willingly into the fray like that, then that's on him as well. So he's got to not do that and enter himself into that spot. But yeah, we don't want a red jersey getting touched. So that's what it is.
Jeff takes hands to his face in that moment. There are no consequences in that moment.
Yeah.
Is that special privileges for Jeff? Or
no.
Does that tell the defense anybody can take hands to Cam's face?
No, that's not at all. I mean, anything that we do when it comes to those types of things and conversations I've had with those guys are internal. I don't need to share any of them. But, there's not really much more to add than that.
Well, what the coach did was in practice two plays later and then had the team run.
I like those questions. Whoever that was kind of not beating around the bush.
I know everybody thinks the Titans aren't going to be any good because they're the Titans and they haven't been good for a while. But this Cam Ward guy, I'm officially an interest-piqued observer. Okay. Guy drafted first overall, and his moment in the sun gets immediately eclipsed by the news that the Browns traded out of the second overall spot and the Jaguars trade up for Travis Hunter. And then it's like, Cam Ward who? Draft night. He's going to go to the Tennessee Titans. He's starting against the Denver Broncos in Denver. Let's see him do that against that Denver defense. Bring that moxie. And he's going to get his, he's going to get his lunch handed to him at some point.
For sure. All rookies do.
Right? Except Jaden Daniels, I guess. But other than that, we'll see. We will see. But color me 100% interested in what happens here. Because they've got, go do yourself a favor and look at their roster. They got some talented players around him. Again, he had Calvin Ridley for a touchdown.
Calvin Ridley's going to eat.
He had Calvin Ridley for a touchdown, and he's like, where's Jeffrey Simmons?
Give me some of that.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's got to be something to that. And according to this article, Simmons' helmet came off. Somebody got Simmons' helmet off.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett is there. Remember, Tony Pollard, yeah, Tajay Spears.
One thing linemen do not play about is their quarterback.
So, right.
I mean, well, Simmons, just to wrap this up, I said everything's good. Okay, everything's good. Yeah. Y'all doing way too much practice. It's football. S happens between the lines, but y'all letting these reporters blow up something that happened at practice says a lot. Trust me, me and one, meaning the quarterback is good. I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
I'm using this to point out that Cam Ward is looking at Jeffrey Simmons after they've already been at it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some more.
A red ass, as you like to call it.
Oh, I like my quarterback having a very, very red ass because they're all really good when they have them. And you know who's got one of the biggest, who's the biggest red ass around is Kurt Warner. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Just ask Kurt his opinion on who's going to win the Super Bowl now.
Gets so angry.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
What? How am I supposed to know who wins the Super Bowl? It's August.
Why are you asking me
Why
this?
Why are you asking me this already? Well, Kurt's the segment, and we're trying to produce a TV show.
Wait till I ask him on YouTube. In Portuguese.
Oh, please do it in Portuguese.
Great. Is it just the two of you, or is it three-man booth?
Just the two of us in the booth.
Nice. Puffy coat's not going. Huh? It's going to be a little hot for the puffy coat.
Actually,
my coat should be there. Oh, that's right.
Always.
It's winter down there.
Mike,
that's
it's the
right.
Southern
that's
Hemisphere.
Right. That's right. I'm forgetting.
It's the Southern
it's
Hemisphere.
Winter.
Puffy coat got to go regardless if he wears it.
No, let me make sure I get all of this right. No, it's going to be 50 degrees.
Oh, puffy coat.
Let me get this correct here. No, it's Stacy Dale's on the sideline.
Oh, nice.
Along with Destroying. It's a YouTube game, so they're gonna have, right. Yeah, Mr. Beast.
I've heard of him.
Apparently, gonna be part of the extravaganza. Have you heard of Alex Earl?
I have.
I'm sure you have.
I have not. There's gonna be who is that?
Uh huh.
I mean,
no, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of the YouTube
great
concepts being brought to bear, including I think you saw the commercial during Monday Night Football last night, the video with the cats playing the piano.
I love cats.
I know you do, Mike.
Mike, we're aware.
Oh, yep. My God. But yeah, I'm excited about all that. I'm excited about Cam Ward, man.
Woo!
Go for it, Cam. Who's that? Who's going to get some? Denver's going to get some first. Then the Rams.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. Please, please pick out Jared Verse, Cam.
Cam, please. Don't do it.
Please, let's go.
Don't do it.
I like it. And then he's got the Colts. At Houston, at Arizona, at Vegas, pick out Max Crosby. Where's Max Crosby? That's what he's going to start to do, right? Where's Max?
What if the AFC South is like sneaky good division
please,
this year?
Wouldn't that be great?
You know what
wouldn't
I mean?
That be great where the Jaguars are like, come get some
right.
Travis Hunter two times.
And Daniel Jones is balling.
Oh, Daniel
and
Jones
Ward
is balling.
Is...
Ballin'.
You know what I'm talking about?
Do that drop, Mike.
Stroud is back.
Hang on.
I know it's old.
It's balling.
I mean, that's like 2015.
That's like one of the first. Rob Corddry. You know what? Hold on. Get ready. What if Cam Ward has got the Titans?
Balling.
What if the Jaguars with Travis Hunter and Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen, they're
balling.
What if we get the Houston Texans taking another step forward and they are officially
balling?
What if we've got ourselves Daniel Jones? Hey!
Ballin'!
That sounds kind of crazy.
Okay, very good.
AFC South, more playoff teams than AFC West.
Dude, that look, that's what happened. That's what happened when Owes Perlman started mentioning Trisha, your second grade crush. That face you had. Dude. In all seriousness. That's the Riddler. That's
Riddler, yes.
Is the Riddler or was that the Joker? Batman. Long story short, I think it was the Riddler. Listen. You don't mean that, do you?
No.
Okay.
But
by the way, zero pushback on that.
None. Because he knew.
But
it's a bit.
But what if?
Nice. There it is. It's the greatest. Excuse me. That would be the collective American football fan look if the AFC South wound up with more playoff teams than the AFC West.
Oh, wow.
I don't. I mean, crazier things have happened, right?
Please.
In a season.
Yes, I sure, but I don't know about that. That would be fun. AFC South, more playoff teams than the NFC South.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't go home now. Don't go home now.
Come on, dude. Bucks, Falcons. Bucks, Falcons both make it.
I heard. Once again, Kyle Pitts is being reborn.
Jeez.
At some point, that broken clock's going to be right. Rod Woodson coming up.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember. See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.